Well, good afternoon, everyone. I'm Roy Prevost, and I'm hosting the event called Am I Being Robbed Blind in My Retail Store, happening June 22nd at the BCIT campus here in Vancouver. And today I'm going to be interviewing the two presenters for the event, and I'm going to give a brief bio of each, and then we're going to ask some questions and find out what we're going to be talking about in this particular day-long workshop. And the first presenter is Siglinda Malmberg, an experienced human resources professional. She's worked in the Caribbean, Australia, France, Malaysia, U.S., Canada. Her human resources experience spans 25 years and has worked on projects as large as world expositions and as small as independent retail. Her special focus has been on building effective teams, or continues to be on building effective teams, workplace conflict, harassment, interpersonal conflict, and workplace violence. She also is highly skilled in work mediation investigations and loss prevention through consistent human resources practices. I hope I have all this right. Siglinda, welcome. Did I get it right?
That sounds like such complicated stuff. Well, really what I do is I just help people run successful businesses.
Well, thank you. So I'm going to ask you a few questions, Siglinda, and then we're going to come to Warren in a few moments. Siglinda, let's just start from the very beginning and just give me your perception on the biggest errors that independent retailers make when they're hiring new employees.
I think that retailers are entrepreneurs, so they're, you know, gung-ho, get it done, get them hired, I need them now. And what they do is they miss the red flags, the signals that they get that would tell them that somebody is going to be a problem, an ethical problem for them. It's not that they don't feel those signals, but they ignore them because they're busy and they just love the personality of the person. And, you know, the signals go out the door. Every time that I have analyzed a hiring problem with a retailer, what I've found out is, yeah, I heard that, or yes, they said that to me. And then my question is, why didn't you pay attention to it? Because it was a red flag.
Yes. Excellent. And so is there any kind of way to kind of minimize this, the risk of hiring a dishonest employee? So is there some kind of protocol or procedure that they should go through to minimize that risk?
Consistency. We know they're busy. We know they're pressed for time. They want to move forward. So templates for hiring, behavioral questions focus on an employee's experience. They ask for specific examples of what an employee has done before, and you can't fudge that stuff. And they offer a lot of opportunity for follow-up and probing that will give a real clear message of who you're dealing with.
Okay. Because I remember when I had my retail store, the kinds of questions that I asked were probably, you know, where did you work before? And in fact, I remember correctly, where did you work before?
Of course.
Can you give me a reference of some place that you've worked before?
Yep.
Now, let me ask you a question related to this. Are you allowed, what kind of questions are you allowed to ask the previous employer regarding an employee? Is there kind of a set protocol there? Because I always get a sense that they may have something to say about the employee, about past working practices, but they're reluctant to offer more than what you're asking, so to speak.
Well, here's where we run into some challenges with privacy legislation. And a lot of employers are unwilling to give references because they believe that they will be hit with some kind of privacy suit. So we have some tips for that as well, and how you can get the information that you need in spite of privacy legislation, and it's really foolproof, no problem.
Now, one of the things that I've learned as of late, and this was not when I had my retail store, because I had a retail store in the 70s, so you can imagine I'm not a young man here. And back then, it was just simply, you know, you kind of had a certain level of trust with the person you're hiring.
Yeah, yeah.
But I've learned of late, and maybe you can enlighten me here. Someone had told me this one time that if you were to, at the very end of asking all the questions about the prospective employee, if you were to say, now, beyond what you've already told me, is there anything else I should know about this person? Is that a good way to kind of approach that?
No, it's not a legal question, and if anybody on the other end of the phone is wise, they won't answer that question. The real key question to ask is, would you rehire them?
Oh, okay.
If the answer to that question is no,
yep, then you got your answer.
End of the conversation.
Yes, okay. Now, if you were an independent retailer today in 2010, what would be the very first priority you would put in place in your business regarding new employees?
I would put in place consistent practices around hiring, orientation, performance management, coaching, so that there's never an opportunity for an employee to manipulate the system. My managers are all on side, my supervisors are all on side, and anybody who's trying to scam me just doesn't have an opportunity to do it.
Okay. Now, regarding your session, can you give me kind of two or three takeaways that attendees will leave with, that once they've completed your session, your part of the day-long workshop?
I'm going to give them a set of behavioral questions that they can use. A lot of experience with different retail clients, so I can give them sets of questions for a variety of things they need to ask. I'm going to make myself available for any follow-up that they need, whether it's a form or a procedure or whatever. And we're going to talk about the templates for quick, easy, reliable HR practices that they can then pass on to their managers to use to make their businesses a success.
Thank you. Thank you, Sieglinda. Now I'm going to move over to Warren. Just to give Warren's bio, Warren is the managing director and part owner of FBIG Loss Prevention Company. He has been a leader in the security guard and loss prevention field for more than 14 years. He has participated in the successful apprehension of over 1,400 either or shoplifters and employees or dishonest employees. He is a fully licensed private investigator and is adept at internal investigations. He has worked both in-house loss prevention for a large retail chain, and he also helps small independent retailers. Greetings, Warren. Welcome aboard.
Hi, Roy.
Did I get it right?
You got it right. That's
great.
That's...
Okay. Now, at this point, I want to share something with you, Warren. When I had a store in the 1970s, one of the more shocking, and this was shocking in our world, but in today's world it seems to be commonplace. We had a card and gift shop back in Ottawa, my brother and I, and we had we provided a service for the community whereby people who wanted bus tickets would come in, and they would give us cash, and we would give them bus tickets, and we had this box under the till. Under the cash, and it was just separate from our regular cash because it was a service, and there was several hundred dollars at any given time of either or bus tickets and or money. And it just happened to be full of money because this person had probably been casing us and watching us, knew kind of what was happening. And while the store manager was standing toward the back of the store, in comes this kid, reaches behind the counter, yanks the thing out, and if my memory serves me, it was already connected to the shelf, and ran away with it. And of course, the manager was just shocked and called us. I happened not to be in the store, nor my brother, and was in total. I mean, was really shook up by the whole thing, and we really didn't know what to do. I mean, we had no clue. The protocol, we didn't know what to do, how we should approach it. We gave a report to the police. Of course, they didn't do anything about it. But it was, I just remembered at the time, there was no kind of, we didn't have any kind of training around that kind of activity that goes on quite regularly in retail today. So, I'm grateful that you're going to be part of this because you'll be able to help people kind of understand what this all looks like, both from an internal perspective in terms of employee theft and also external, meaning shoplifting. So let's just ask a few questions about that, Warren, as to how this really works. In your experience, what is the single biggest error that independent retailers make when dealing with shoplifters? What would be their biggest error?
The biggest error that retailers make is that they don't have the knowledge of who is a shoplifter.
Okay.
Everyone, and it brings me back to your story, Roy. In your story, I hear you say that you and your brother weren't there.
That's right.
Is that correct?
That's right. Our manager was there, but we weren't there.
So the manager was there. So alarm bells go off in my head immediately because in my line of business, everyone's guilty until proven innocent. So it's completely the opposite. It's an opposite way of thinking. Because as you told your story, what was going through my mind is, okay, I wonder how much money the manager got away with that day.
Yeah, very good point.
So I come from a different angle, and that's what I want people to come away from this seminar with, is a different angle, a different way of thinking about who you should be looking for.
Interesting. So it could easily have been, and nobody's pointing fingers necessarily, but it could have easily
absolutely
been
not.
Internal as well as being external. So we really don't know. Now, is there any, that all being said, I mean, you hire a manager, you've had experience with them, they tend to, as far as you're concerned, they tend to be trustworthy. At what point do you, you're always asking the questions, but how do you mitigate, how do you avoid that is what I'm trying to say. How do you without appearing to be paranoid all the time, is there some level of trust that goes on that you just say, well, I trust
that person? Of course, there's always a level of trust that you have to have with your employees and your managers.
Yes.
But alarm bell, you also have to take note of your stock and take notice of what your staff are doing.
Yes.
In order to figure out if there are discrepancies. When you find yourself, when you have a store that has no sales in it for a period of time, and you know that you've had clients come through that store, this has recently happened, in which there were no sales for days. Every time this specific employee, managing employee, was on duty. And so just knowing that and giving me that little bit of information, I was able to, put in some cameras and kind of watch and sure enough, see clients in the store that day, see money go through the till, but see no ringing in of any product.
Yeah.
And money being exchanged, and pretty much, very easily able to get rid of that employee. And that employee has been there for over 5 years.
Oh, my gosh. So that's 5 years of potentially theft going on without the owner either being aware of it or just kind of dismissing it kind of thing.
Usually it's not that it starts out that way. It's something traumatic happens in their life and something triggers that. So it's usually, you can usually go back through and find out, okay, this is when it started. And then I'm able to sit them down and talk to them, interview them, and get more out of them in order to find out, what is the cause of this?
Yes.
Sounds like we're saying the same thing in many ways, Warren. People just ignore the signs.
Yes.
Warren, in terms of someone that you see in your store, you know they're doing something. You haven't actually caught them in the act. How do you approach suspects, I call them suspects, whom you have a feeling that might be stealing, but that you're not sure. Is there some message that you can give them, or is there something that you do?
Customer service is key.
Yes.
And one of the best things I see that I like to do, especially if I see a guy that's a lot bigger than I am. I mean, I'm only 5'7".
Yeah.
And I've gone up to guys that are 6'2", 6'4". And I weigh out what my alternatives are going to be at that time. How am I approaching this person? If I'm going to wait outside, then I'm making an arrest.
Yes.
How much of a risk am I willing to take?
Yeah.
So usually, when I get to a certain size or demeanor, if I can tell if there's three or four of them coming in at the same time, I want to make sure that I'm going up and grabbing a basket, handing it to them, and saying, "Do you need a basket for all the stuff you have?"
Yeah.
Give them customer service and make eye contact.
Yeah.
When a person enters a store, the first thing you do is make eye contact and say hi.
Yeah. And so that connection and that kind of greeting to the average person who has kind of evil intentions, that will throw them off to a certain degree. They know they've been acknowledged, kind of thing, I'm guessing. Is that would you kind of admit, or would you say that would be the case?
Yes, that would be the case. They may still go into some corner and hope that you're not going to continue your customer service. But if you don't have any loss prevention at all, then you need to maintain that. Especially if you don't get a reply back, if their eyes are going down, I always say make eye contact. I tell my guys, don't make eye contact.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Because once you do that eye contact, they're going to walk. They will not, that's usually when they go, I'm caught, right?
Yeah.
I'm leaving.
Now, how has loss prevention or how has theft in stores and retail changed over the years, Warren? Give me kind of a capsule of, because I remember in the 70s, everybody was fairly trustworthy, even though we knew that it was happening. But it kind of evolved over the years. So what's your perspective on that?
I in 15 years of it, I've been doing it, and nothing's changed really, except the volume, the amount that they're stealing. But it's still the same. I mean, I was still dealing with the same people 15 years ago.
Yeah.
That were stealing, but they were stealing, one product, it wasn't a whole, an entire shelf coming off in order to make their theft.
Yeah.
The value has gone way up.
Now, has I'm kind of reluctant to get too far involved in this, but has there been, are the courts a lot softer on petty crime than they used to be, or is it kind of, it hasn't changed all that much?
It really has become a revolving door. Much more than it used to be years ago. Now there's no repercussion unless you're going to catch that person time and time and time again. The problem is, statistically, the problem is that for every one time that you catch them, there's 40 times that they have done it.
Yeah, exactly right.
So it becomes very expensive.
And the cost is horrific for, it could put a person out of business, but wouldn't you agree to that? I mean, it could put you out of business.
Totally. And not just little shops, not just little shops. There's large retail chains that have closed their doors, that closed their hours down to half because they know that they just can't maintain the amount of loss that's being created during certain periods or certain peaks in their day or night. There are other stores where the shrink is so large because they're part of a retail chain, they're able to get assistance through that. So it really can affect your business if you don't keep totally on top of it.
And a couple more things before we end this, but what would be an acceptable percentage of loss in a retail store? And the reason I say that is because obviously you can't stop it completely, but there is norms that you operate from, right? I mean, on an average, what would be the norm?
If you have a shrink of more than 2.5%, you are really starting to get in trouble.
Yeah. Wow.
And once you hit 3, you're really losing a lot of money. You're going to need assistance.
Well, so just give me kind of 3 things that people will take away from your session. 3 takeaways that when they depart from your 3.5-hour part of the day-long workshop.
I hope the first thing that they're going to take away is knowledge of what to do. I hope that they're going to understand, have a better understanding of what they need in order to deal with a shoplifter. If they catch one, if they see all the elements, knowledge is what I'm really trying to give them.
So knowledge being one, are you going to give them written material or sight line stuff within the store, the do's and don'ts and that kind of thing? Is that going to be part of your package too?
There'll be a package that I'll be able to give them that will give them an idea of things they should do to eliminate shrink immediately. So I'll give them different ideas on how they can, without going through a heavy amount of cost, eliminate that shrink.
Very good. Well, thank you both, Siglinda and Warren, for this very enlightening recording of the process that we're going to go through and during that day. So for everyone on the call, remember, it is June 22nd, the BCIT Downtown Campus. You can go to lossproventionmatters.com and sign up, and we look forward to seeing you there. Thank you both for taking the time to help me out with this particular event to kind of give more information about the upcoming workshop. Thanks so much.
Thank you. See you there.
See you there. Thank you.
Thanks, Roy.